What's up, guys? I'm Kevin Lapka.
I'm Ryan Talley.
This is the Lapka and Talley podcast coming at you with the Week 12 recap podcast. Going to go over all the games in Week 12, including the three Thanksgiving games. Hope you guys all had a great Thanksgiving weekend. There was a ton of football to be watched, and there was a ton of great games, a lot of shakeups in a few divisions, and a lot of playoff implications at this point in the season. But we're going to start now with those Thanksgiving games. Start with the early game, the Chicago Bears at the Detroit Lions. Bears win 23-16 on the road with backup quarterback Chase Daniel at the helm. Ryan, what'd you see from this game from Chicago in a 23-16 win for the Bears?
I think this shows that the Bears team right now, they're relying on their defense. I know Chase Daniel was the quarterback this week, but they could just not get anything going offensively. It was Chase Daniel, not Mitch Trubisky. But they were bailed out at the end by the pick six by Eddie Jackson. The Lions at the time could have went down with a go-ahead score, yeah. Saved by their defense. Defense played well again, but the run game looked a little iffy. The run defense rather looked a little iffy. LeGarrette Blount had a decent day, surprisingly, against this Bears run defense. Very uncharacteristic of the Bears. I don't know if they're getting tired or what, but over the past couple weeks, the Bears defense, it's not been a catastrophic disaster, but they're looking a little different than they were earlier in the season. A little slower, maybe. Not really sure what's going on, but they're really going to need to be locked down going into the playoffs to like really give themselves a chance to go deep, make a deep playoff run.
Yeah, well, when you talk about a guy like LeGarrette Blount going for 19 carries and 88 yards and two touchdowns against the Bears defense, I'm going to attest a lot of it to the short week, the shortest period between games in NFL history of 88 hours between the Bears Sunday night game and the Thursday game. So, you know, and when you have a guy like LeGarrette Blount who can just, you know, run through people, it's going to be very hard when you're tired to bring a guy like that down. But, you know, the pass defense, two interceptions, zero touchdowns, held Matthew Stafford to 236 yards. The thing about this Bears defense and why they're so special is, like, yeah, they can stop teams. You know, they don't allow first downs, their first and opponent first downs. But they just know how to make plays, and they get turnovers, and that is the characteristic of this defense. Like, if you look at a team like the 85 Bears, like, they would just grind you, and you're just not going to get past that defense on four downs. But, you know, this defense is going to get turnovers and get them when they need to, and you saw that in this game with the Eddie Jackson pick six to seal it. And then the offensive side of the ball, you're right, like, The run offense for the Bears, I don't know if you even mentioned that, it is concerning. And it's been concerning all year. I mean, the play calling has been pretty strange to me because every run with Jordan Harris inside zone and then, like, most Tariq Cohen runs are, you know, pitches to the outside as expected because those are the style of runners that they are. But I've still been waiting and waiting for that Jordan Howard breakout game, and it still has not come. So it's something to keep an eye on because you're right. The defense can't bail them out every game, and this is a different situation because of the circumstances for this week. But they're gonna have to get a solid running attack going if they do want to grind out a team like the Saints or the Rams. So we'll see what they do in the coming weeks. But overall, I'm not concerned about the offense as a whole because of the creativity of Matt Nagy. They will have no problems against any team in the NFL because of his creativity. And once we get Mitch Trubisky back, it'll change a few things up. So, big win for the Bears, 23-16. They move to 8-3. They are first in the NFC North. They have a 1.5-game lead against the Minnesota Vikings. We're going to move on to the NFC East now, to the second midday game of Thanksgiving. Dallas Cowboys versus Washington Redskins, a battle for first in the NFC East. And the Dallas Cowboys now are in first place after a 31-23 win. Both teams are 6-5, but the Dallas Cowboys have the tiebreaker with this win over the Redskins. Ryan, implications for the NFC East, and what did you see from this game?
Surprisingly, this game did not change a whole lot going on in the NFC East. The Eagles, the Redskins, and the Cowboys can all have possibilities of winning the division. So this game was obviously big for the Cowboys, a division win. They do move ahead of the Redskins for first place in the East, but they still need to win games going forward. A big day for Zeke, as expected. I think the problem with this Redskins team, though, moving forward, they don't have Alex Smith, so they're relying on Colt McCoy, and they're just not getting it done in the run game anymore. Earlier in the season, Adrian Peterson was rushing for upwards of 90 yards consistently, only 35 yards this week. The team only had 80 yards on 20 carries. Not great when you're relying on a backup quarterback. Colt McCoy is a decent backup. He knows the system well. He's been a backup for a while in Washington. So it's not like it's some young guy who's never played in the league before. He knows what he's doing. But when you're relying on a backup to lead you into the playoffs, you got to use your run game. And it's just not working for the Redskins right now. And they do not have a ton of talent in the receiving department. Jordan Reed is good when he's healthy, but you can't rely on your tight end. This week, Jordan Reed and Vernon Davis were the top two receivers for the Redskins. You can't really rely on your tight end week after week. These are bigger guys. They're not the fastest guys. Most of the time, they're going to be red zone targets, stuff like that. So they just, things aren't looking good for them with Alex Smith going down. They are still in the hunt to win the NFC East, but it's just not looking great for them if they can't get the run game going. And for the Cowboys, they've been playing well recently. Wins against the Eagles, wins against the Redskins, both good division wins. And Amari Cooper, a huge day. But I think the problem going forward is he had 9 targets, 8 catches. None of their wide receivers had more than 6 targets, and none of them had more than 2 catches. So I think they got to figure out how to spread this offense out a little bit more. I know Amari Cooper can be a very dominant wide receiver when he's on his A game, but moving into the playoffs, you can't rely on a single guy to get you yards from the wide receiver position.
I agree. Yeah, this game, I think you're seeing the Dallas Cowboys establish themselves right now as the best team in the NFC East, but it is still keeping your eye on the Eagles. But you're right, I do think the Washington Redskins are done. It's just going to be hard to win games with Colt McCoy, especially, like you said, when that run game is not working the way they want it to. But for the Dallas Cowboys, the more important team right now, Ezekiel Elliott. And this is, they have found their niche with Ezekiel Elliott. This is what they were in 2016 when this team went, I believe, 13-3 or 12-4 was one of those. It was the Ezekiel Elliott show. And is that now again? The Cowboys are now 25-5 in the Prescott and Elliott era when Ezekiel Elliott rushes for 70 plus yards. And they are 0-6 when he rushes for fewer than 70 yards. So obviously, the team knows when Ezekiel Elliott is successful, the team is successful. And, you know, these past 3 games that they've been on this run, he's been successful. And that's the reason why you see them at 6-5 right now. And I will say I was wrong about Amari Cooper. I did not think that the trade, I mean, the trade value, I think, has really come full circle. And now, you know, now he's looking like he was worth that first round pick that the Cowboys gave up for him. I mean, he's really changed this offense. He has made 2 huge plays. He's a playmaker. He's now Dak Prescott's immediately favorite target. You said it is a problem about spreading the ball, but you know they're putting up 31 points with Amari Cooper. He's clearly making an effect on their offense. They've had the highest points per game margin for the team the past 2 games with Amari Cooper, so he is having that effect. And you're going to see the Dallas Cowboys get better going on. If we look at their schedule, can you pull up the schedule? See what they're looking like for the rest of the East, because you are going to see the Eagles battle with them for this title.
The Cowboys play the Saints next week.
The Cowboys get the Saints next week. That's right. That's the Thursday night matchup in 2 days. That will be really interesting because the Saints are obviously probably the best team in the NFL.
Coming up, they have the Saints, the Eagles, the Colts, the Buccaneers, and the Giants.
So they've got a bunch of winnable games. It's really going to come down. I think it's really going to come down to that Eagles game in week 14? In week 14, It's Cowboys-Eagles, America's Game of the Week on Fox in Philadelphia. That's going to come down. I think it's going to be that game right there that will determine the winner of the NFC East. But big game for the Dallas Cowboys, winning 31-23 at home. They are now first in the NFC East. Let's move on now to the Sunday night game. Thursday night game, that is, on Thanksgiving. New Orleans Saints against the Atlanta Falcons. Pretty easy win for them, 31-17. They improved to 10-1. The Atlanta Falcons dropped to 4-7 and are eliminated from the playoffs, essentially. What'd you see from this one for both teams? Big win for the Saints.
Yeah, I think we just saw much of the same of what we've been seeing for the past 10 weeks from the Saints, and that is just pure dominance. They are clearly the best team in the NFC, clearly the best team in the NFL, in my opinion. Drew Brees, likely your MVP. 29 touchdowns on the season, only 2 interceptions. This offense is clicking on all cylinders. Earlier in the year, they lose Ted Ginn Jr., their number 2 wide receiver. They keep going. They didn't have Tre'Quan Smith this week. Didn't stop them from scoring 31 points. They're just spreading the offense around all over the place. You don't know if Alvin Kamara is going to get it done for you, if Mark Ingram's going to do it. They just have so many weapons on offense who can all produce and all have great days, and that's what you need to have a dominant offense in the league and to go deep into the playoffs. You can't rely on one guy doing everything for you. You look at last year, the Philadelphia Eagles, they had weapons all around the offense. They were able to spread it out. Relying on just one guy is tough in this league because defenses know how to scheme against that one guy. There's only a few guys who are completely it doesn't matter who they play, they'll still dominate. But the Saints have weapons up and down their team, and it's really showing because they're just dominating right now. Haven't lost since week one. They lost to the Buccaneers week one. Everybody thought they might be a one-hit wonder from last year. Nope, they win 10 straight. They keep going. No team obviously wants to see them going into January because this team looks to have the makings of a deep playoff, a championship team. As for the Falcons, a really tough year with injuries on defense and on offense. Just been a tough year all around. But on the bright side, they were in a lot of games this year. It wasn't like they were getting blown out every single week. So going into next year, if you can get your team healthier, things aren't so bad. You're probably going to have the last place schedule, maybe third place schedule. So you're going to be playing some lesser teams next year, plus all the guys coming back from injury. But it's really tough to win games when Matt Ryan has to throw the ball 47 times. Obviously, he can do that, but you'd love to see Tevin Coleman get more carries. Obviously, they fell down early in this game, and you got to throw to beat the Saints. You got to score points almost all the time to beat the Saints. But I think this was pretty much an expectable outcome in the division game. I think the Saints were clearly the better team and playing well all season.
Yeah, I think about the New Orleans Saints that I noticed in this game was they had 4 takeaways in this game, and now they had 8 takeaways in their first 8 games, but in their last 3 games they have 9 takeaways. And this is why I think the Saints are the best team out of those high-powered offenses. If you're talking about the Saints, the Rams, the Chiefs, and the Patriots, I'm going to go with the Saints as the best team of those 4 because of this defense and their ability to get takeaways. But on the other hand, the Falcons are just not protecting the football, and you know they make a lot of mistakes. They have 5 fumbles lost in the last 3 games. So that is a lot, and that's bad for a Falcons team that is already depleted. But this New Orleans Saints team in general, like you said, you don't know what they're going to throw at you. Drew Brees has thrown a TD pass to 13 different players this season, tied for the most since 1970. Matt Ryan is the only other quarterback to do that. So, you know, they spread the ball around. You don't know who they're going to throw to. One night it's Mark Ingram, one it's Alvin Kamara. I do like that they've been using Mark Ingram more, but of course you still have Alvin Kamara coming out of the backfield as a running back and a receiver. He's so dynamic. And this New Orleans Saints team, they are dangerous, 10-1, tied for the best record in the NFL. They are the best team in the NFL because of this defense. And the thing that's going to separate them down the stretch is their ability to get turnovers. And, you know, this is a good Falcons offense. The offense doesn't have many injuries, and they held that offense to 17 points. So that's a very good job. And if we're going to talk about the Atlanta Falcons here, I'm going to say it's pretty much a stretch, but I'm going to say they fire Dan Quinn and they fire Steve Sarkisian at the end of the year. You saw more red zone woes in this game. I think they had like 4 opportunities in the red zone like a few times, and they barely got it in on one of them, and the other time they didn't get it in. So, you know, throughout the year, people were saying, all right, Steve Sarkisian, after that first game, he's gotten better. And, you know, the past few weeks against Cleveland as well, they've been worse in the red zone. And this is a team now where you're kind of nearing Matt Ryan. I'd say Matt Ryan has 2 years left. Do you think that's reasonable? 2?
How old is he?
I don't know how old he is, but I'm going to give him 2 years.
He's 33.
33. I'll give him 2 years. So, if the Falcons fire... I think if the Falcons fire Dan Quinn and Steve Sarkisian, they bring in an offensive-minded coach, this could be a team that's ready for a playoff run next year. They don't have that. They don't need to have that learning curve with a rookie quarterback. With rookies, this is a very veteran team. A lot of really talented players once they, you know, get out of the injury bug. So next year, I think if they fire Dan Quinn and if they fire Steve Sarkisian, they can get themselves an offensive-minded coach who will get that team ready to go. And you know, you can say that sure, you know, there's a learning curve with any head coach, but look at the Bears. You know, they're 8-3 with a new head coach. It's certainly possible, especially when you have a team with this much talent. So I'm going to go on a limb and say that they fire everyone, they clean house, and you know, get things fixed up for a potential Super Bowl run in Matt Ryan's final 2 years in Atlanta. But otherwise, big win for the New Orleans Saints Thanksgiving night, 31-17. They retain their lead in the NFC South. We're going to go now to the Oakland Raiders at the Baltimore Ravens. Big win for the Ravens, who have now put up the most points in their past 2 games with Lamar Jackson, so he is clearly having an effect on that offense. Lamar Jackson himself only went 14 for 25, 170 yards passing, 1 TD and 2 interceptions, but I think more importantly it's the effect on the rest of the offense. I know this is a 2-9 Oakland Raiders team, but big 34-17 win for the Ravens, who are still in the hunt for the AFC wildcard race. What did you see from this one?
Yeah, another big day from Lamar Jackson, but I actually think when Joe Flacco's healthy, he is going to take over the starting role.
That's bold.
I think the key here for the Ravens is actually Gus Edwards. Back-to-back weeks rushing over 100 yards. I think they found a running back that they can trust. They've been looking for one all year. Alex Collins had a good year last year, really struggled this year. They traded for Ty Montgomery, but Ty Montgomery's not necessarily your go-to lead back. He's passing down back. But I think Gus Edwards is actually the key for this Ravens offense. If you can run the ball more with Joe Flacco, I think Joe Flacco starts to look like a better quarterback. When you rely on Joe Flacco to throw the ball a ton, your offense is going to start to look very one-dimensional, very poor. But I think Joe Flacco is a capable quarterback when he does have a run game. But I mean, yeah, they are scoring more, but Lamar Jackson had a 35.7 QBR this week. Not great from the passing department. So if he can't get out there and run, you're not looking at great things passing-wise. Obviously, he's an amazing athlete, and most of his allure is from his running and his athleticism. But if that's not there, then you don't have a lot in the passing department. I believe they got a punt return touchdown.
They did.
And a fumble return touchdown. So if you take those away, they only scored 20 points on the Raiders. So obviously their defense is one of the main reasons why they continue to be in the playoff hunt. Defense is one of the best in the league. But this was the Raiders. Let's not forget that the Raiders are, I believe right now, the second worst or the worst team in the league.
Tied for worst.
So the Raiders aren't very good, and we've seen that all year. It's just a race for them to see if they can get the number one overall pick. Yep. At this point, there's not been many bright sides on the season for the Raiders other than the fact that they have 5 first-round picks in the next 2 years. Mm-hmm. So John Gruden can basically build his own team. This was a good win for Lamar Jackson, 2-0, but I do think Joe Flacco returns as starter once he's healthy.
Interesting take. Again, I said that was a bold prediction because I don't know the exact stat, But this Ravens offense has put up the most points in the whole season in their past two games with Lamar Jackson. So it seems to me that, again, although Lamar Jackson only has, 178 yards passing, he's making an effect on this whole offense. And there's a lot of things to throw at the defense now when you have a guy like Lamar Jackson. You don't know if he's going to throw or pass. He rushed 11 times. He passed 25 times. So it's a pretty good mix. But like you said, when they play really good defenses who can stop the run and, you know, keep a QB spy on Lamar Jackson, it's going to be hard for them to move the ball, I think, when you don't have a guy who's productive in the passing department. Again, who had two interceptions, so he's interception prone. But in general, I'm not going to criticize it too much because they put up 34 points. I know two of those come to defense and special teams, but it's a team that looks a lot better with Lamar Jackson. Cool stat for the Ravens defense. They had a player, Matt Judon. He sacked Derek Carr on three straight plays, which I think is really cool. He's the second player since 1982 with a sack on three straight opponent offensive plays. I think that is a super cool stat because the odds of that are very unlikely. But Oakland Raiders, 2-9 at this point. I think they hold the third or second position in the draft right now. I'm not exactly sure. But this Ravens team is now 6-5, so I think they do hold a spot in the playoffs as of now. I would have to fact check that. They either hold a spot or they are right there on the cusp.
I think they're the last
seed. They're the sixth seed right now in the AFC, so they need to mount a few more wins. I don't know when Joe Flacco is going to come back. I think it's soon. Maybe next week, maybe the coming week. So interesting quarterback controversy to keep your eye on there in Baltimore, and we'll see what they do with that. But big win for the Ravens here against a Raiders team that they should have beat. So we're going to move on. We're going to go to Jacksonville Jaguars, 3-8, who have lost to the Buffalo Bills, 24-21. Buffalo Bills improved to 4-7. Pretty nice day from Josh Allen. He goes 8-19 for 160. Not the greatest stats, but he had a beautiful bomb to Robert Foster. Unbelievable throw. He throws flashes of talent every week. But, Ryan, what did you see in this game with Jacksonville, who did have Leonard Fournette back and healthy in this game and still could not pick up a win against the Buffalo Bills?
Yeah, this was a big game for Josh Allen, not just because he had the 160 yards throwing, a touchdown, no interceptions. He gets the win also. But this was big for him because, as you remember in the summer, Jalen Ramsey called him out and he said he was just straight trash. He was not good. And he commented on throws that he made in training camp saying that's just ready to get picked off. He did actually pick him off, but it got overturned because Jalen Ramsey got penalized for illegal contact on the play. So this was big for Josh Allen. He showed the talent that many scouts thought he had 2 years ago, and then he decided to go back for his senior year. And then last year in the draft, a huge arm. I think he's a little bit of an underrated athlete. He had a great run, had 99 yards rushing. I don't think many people realize how good of an athlete he actually is. But this is just, it's been a tough season for the Jacksonville Jaguars. They bench Blake Bortles. Cody Kessler will start next week for the Jacksonville Jaguars. They were just in the AFC Championship game last year, and they are 3-8 right now. They're looking like the Jacksonville Jaguars from 4 years ago, 3 years ago. They're looking like a bottom team in the NFL. It's going to be interesting the direction they go this year, because this NFL draft is not really filled with a ton of quarterback prospects. So it's going to be interesting to see the direction that they do take. But this game doesn't really have many implications going forward. It was big for Josh Allen to get the win, but Buffalo's 4-7, Jacksonville's 3-8. No real impact moving forward other than maybe Jalen Ramsey should start thinking about who he starts calling trash and then plays during the season. Also, one more point, Leonard Fournette did get suspended for a game because he turned into Mike Tyson during that game and started throwing punches.
Yeah, his helmet came off. That was quite the brawl over there on the sideline. But the thing about the Jaguars, I'm so confused about the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm just so confused how a team with this much talent on defense can be so unproductive. And I think it all comes from, you know, when you have a team with that much talent on defense, it all comes from the offense. When your woes are all coming from the quarterback position directly. I mean, not necessarily the quarterback position directly, but the offensive scheme and what they're doing over there. Blake Bortles, 12 for 23, 127 yards. You can't turn the ball over two times. He had two interceptions. Rushing, they had 226 yards. The most in history for a team that lost a game. So, franchise history. So, 226 yards, you lose the football game. Something is wrong there. I think they clean house as well. They already fired the offensive coordinator. I don't see why they would keep Doug Marrone. I think they get a new quarterback and they also move on to an offensive-minded coach, because that is the direction of the league now. So I think they do that at the end of the year. Buffalo Bills, though, promising for Josh Allen. He's actually looking like, I'd say, the second-best quarterback in that draft behind Baker Mayfield as of now, which certainly has changed the narrative from the beginning of the year. But, you know, he's showing that he is a dual-threat quarterback. He had how many yards rushing did he have? He had 99 yards rushing and a touchdown. And, again, his arm power is just incredible, but he needs to be a little better with accuracy, but he is showing promise in this Buffalo Bills team. They've had some wins this year. It's a pretty nice win here in itself. So definitely keep an eye on them in the coming years, as they are a team that looks to be possibly growing after looking like they were going to dismantle earlier this year. But they are now, I'd say, probably like the 25th best team in the NFL at this point. But again, game with no big implications. So we're going to move on now to a game with huge implications in the NFC. Seattle Seahawks at Carolina Panthers. Came down to the wire. Seattle Seahawks win the game on a Sebastian Janikowski field goal. 30-27 was the final. Seattle Seahawks move to 6-5. Carolina Panthers drop to 6-5. But most importantly, the Seahawks now hold that number 6 spot in the NFC, while the Carolina Panthers drop out of the playoff race as of now. They are now in the hunt, in the number one spot in the hunt. But big game, big implications. What'd you see from this one?
This was a tough game for Carolina, not only because they lose, but earlier in the year, they looked like they pretty much had the first wild card spot locked down. They looked like they were rolling, and all of a sudden, they started losing games. Tough break. Graham Gano misses the go-ahead field goal at the end of the game. It was a
52-yarder.
Yeah. Seahawks drive down the field. Russell Wilson leads them to a field goal. And Russell Wilson is absolutely playing out of his mind right now in the fourth quarter. I mean, if you need a guy to get you down the field, Russell Wilson looks like your guy right now in the fourth quarter. He's just playing very, very clutch, looking like Russell Wilson from 4 years ago now, when they made their Super Bowl runs. He's playing very well for the Seahawks as they look to make a playoff run that was pretty unexpected coming into the year, since they lost basically their entire defense that had won them Super Bowls. Didn't look like they had a clear direction on offense, if they were going to be pass first, run first. But they made it evident going forward into the season that they are a run first team. Chris Carson is running very well for the Seahawks. Russell Wilson, in past years, he was a focal point of the run game. Only 3 carries this week. So clearly he's looking more to be a passer and give his running backs a shot at producing, which I think is what the Seahawks need. They need that Marshawn Lynch guy who they can rely on to get yards from the running back position. You don't just rely on Russell Wilson to scramble for yards. But Carolina, it's not like they've been playing awful. I mean, they did give up 30 points on defense, but they've been playing decently right now. I mean, Christian McCaffrey
by the Steelers.
Yeah, the Steelers, not a good game. But Christian McCaffrey, 125 yards rushing, a touchdown, 112 yards receiving, and a touchdown. I believe on one drive, he got every single yard on the drive. He got, I think, at least 80 yards on the drive. He's their star offensively. Obviously, Cam Newton's their star quarterback, but Christian McCaffrey is a key part of their offense. But they got to figure things out defensively, I would say. I mean, their offense is playing very well right now. Their defense has to pick it up if they want to make a run at a wild card spot right now, because they're definitely not catching the Saints for the division.
No. Yeah, I completely agree with everything you said. The Carolina Panthers right now, total defense, they are 14th. So for a team that you want to see in the wild card race, you probably want to be a little higher than 14th for total defense. But again, this is a defense that just has not been able to generate turnovers. And I'm seeing this as a trend right now for a lot of these teams in the NFL. If you want to be successful in the league nowadays with these high-powered offenses and you want to stop these offenses, it's not always going to come down to just making stops with a great defense. It's going to come down to creating turnovers and having guys on the team who can ball hawk and get to the ball and make plays. And right now, the Carolina Panthers do not have that. They had zero turnovers in this game. And in a game like this, a turnover, just one turnover for this Carolina Panthers team would win the game. So you want to see more turnovers from a team like that. Seattle Seahawks on the other end, they're getting better each week. They do have the ability to create turnovers. They did intercept Cam Newton one time, but their offense is really growing. They figured out how to produce with all of their running backs. I mean, one week it's Chris Carson, another week it's Rashad Penny. It changes, but right now it looks like Chris Carson is the lead back, and they have kind of established that. But it's solely Russell Wilson. This team is getting carried by Russell Wilson. I can confidently say that. He has led two straight fourth-quarter game-winning drives in the past 2 weeks, so hell of a job by him. And this Seattle Seahawks team, you know, they don't have the most talent, but they know how to win football games. I still like Pete Carroll as the coach of this team. And you're going to see this team, I think, steal that number six spot in the NFC. So we'll see how that progresses the rest of the year, but huge win for the Seahawks. If they had lost this game, they would have dropped to 5-6, and the Carolina Panthers would have been in really good position at 7-4 to capture that final spot in the 5 or 6 spot in the NFC. So huge win for the Seahawks. It was a great game. We're going to move on now to a pretty boring game, but a few storylines coming out of it as far as coaches and players, a little bit of Baker Mayfield taking shots at Hugh Jackson, but Cleveland Browns win. They get their fourth win of the season, beating the Bengals 35-20. Kind of crazy with the Bengals. I think they started 4-0 or something like that. 5-4, 5-1, something like that. I don't know. But they are now 5-6. They're out of the playoffs, assuming they do not win
out. Not mathematically.
Not mathematically, but this is a team, to me, that does not have the ability to make the playoffs. Cleveland Browns, on the other hand, nice game from Baker Mayfield. He's progressing nicely. They have now had their two best offensive games, two best games from Baker Mayfield since they fired Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley. But you saw the comments and everything by Baker Mayfield. What'd you make out of that and the game itself?
Yeah, I mean, it's his business if he doesn't want to give him a hug or whatever after the game. But blasting a guy because he took another job, I think,
is ridiculous to me. It's
a little bit over the line. If the guy just got fired, if he wants to take another job, then he can take another job. I mean, it's whatever. But if he's mad at him because he didn't think he was using him properly in the offense, that's whatever. But accusing the guy of, like, being a traitor because he went to the Bengals. So if he went to the Patriots, would that have been fine? If he went to the 49ers, would that have been fine? Like, just because he went to the Bengals, his old team.
Yeah, he knew he had a relationship with the Bengals.
Like, Marvin Lewis and Hugh Jackson are friends, so if a friend offers you a job after you just got fired, what are you going to say? No, because my old team is in the same division. He's going to take the job. But, I mean, I don't really know what's going on with the Bengals. They looked so good at the beginning of the year, and then it just all went downhill very, very, very fast. This might be the year that Marvin Lewis gets fired. I mean, probably should have been fired three or four years ago. But he's coaching for his job at this point. AJ Green might come back, might not come back. He's probably going to be healthy within the next week or two, but will they risk their star player on a team, on this team that's probably not going to make the playoffs? I don't know. But Cleveland has looked very good offensively since they fired Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley. Baker Mayfield's been playing very well, a 96.7 QBR out of 100. So a great day for him. 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. The past 2 weeks, he's just woke up and he's feeling dangerous. Mm-hmm. He's just gunslinging out there, and touchdown after touchdown. This Browns offense is clicking on all cylinders. Nick Chubb running well for them. So it's definitely a bright spot for this Cleveland team. I think that's what many people thought they could do coming into the season. I don't think a lot of people thought they were going to make the playoffs, but they thought that they could win some games, and they're finally starting to win some games in Cleveland.
Yeah, the Cleveland Browns right now, it's looking promising for them. Obviously, they're not going to make the playoffs, but this is a team right now that is progressing, especially with a rookie quarterback. That's exactly what you want to see from a team in this position. But I think the more important storyline from this game is the Cincinnati Bengals. Again, they were off to the hot start, and they have now dropped off. You saw Andy Dalton. He has just been placed on injured reserve. Jeff Driscoll came in and was more productive than he was after the injury. I think Andy Dalton is done. I think he may retire, or he may get thrown around the league. I mean, he may retire. This is a guy who has been average his whole career. If he gets cut by the Cincinnati Bengals, again, it's unlikely, but you know, a team probably pick him up as a backup, or maybe even as a starter somewhere. But this guy has just been playing average for pretty much 80 to 90% of his career. And if you look at the Cincinnati Bengals offense without A.J. Green, they are 4-8-1 since 2011, while with A.J. Green, they are 66-43-1. So he clearly is a difference maker on that offense. But I think it comes down more importantly to the Cincinnati Bengals defense, who has crumbled. And the Bengals have always, for years and years, been an average team. And I think the only way they get over that hump of not being average is if they fire Marvin Lewis and they clean house a little bit. So I think they do that. They bring in, again, an offensive-minded coach in this year's NFL.
There were rumors that they might look at Hugh Jackson, just putting that out there.
I saw that, and I don't even know what I would say if they did that. I think they need to go the offensive direction. I think if Marvin Lewis is going, Hugh Jackson is going as well. So I like John Ross. I will say that he is kind of growing in the past 2 weeks. He's had TD receptions, but Bengals, really disappointing year for them. I'd say they're done, especially with Andy Dalton being out. We'll see how the rest of their season goes and what they do at the end of the season with a few management questions, but Cleveland Browns promising for them. Good performance from the rookies. In the future, they could be not a threat, but a contender in the AFC. Let's move on. We're not even going to talk about that game. Patriots, Jets, there's really nothing to say. Another Patriots win. Nice to have Gronk back. He had a touchdown, but
Tom Brady doesn't lose against division Josh rivals. McCown.
So not many takeaways from this one. Win for the Patriots. They move to 8-3. They are pretty much clinched a playoff spot, and it looks like, to me, the AFC could run through the New England Patriots. I think they may win out. And I don't think the Chiefs will win out, and they have the tiebreaker over the Chiefs. I think they both end up at 13-3, both the Patriots and the Chiefs. And I think if the AFC indeed runs through the Patriots, I think they will return to the Super Bowl because they are different. I know they've been different this year, but they're a different team in the playoffs. Bill Belichick, you're not messing with him in the playoffs. So 27-13 win for the Patriots. We're going to move on now to interesting NFC East game, closer than most people may have expected. Philadelphia Eagles beat the New York Giants 25-22 at home. New York Giants, after a 2-game win streak, have dropped to 3-8. Philadelphia Eagles, huge win for them. They move to 5-6 and keep themselves in the conversation for the NFC East. I do think they end up winning the division. We'll see if they can get hot again. Ryan, I know this is your team. I know you watched a whole game. What did you see from this one? And is this a team that can return to the Super Bowl?
I don't think they're going to make the Super Bowl.
To the playoffs.
They can. Right now, it looks like they have to win five of their last...
It'd be four, their four last of their five. Last Nine, five seven. Games.
They play the Rams, so that's most likely going to be a loss. They play a couple division games. And then they play also the Texans. So they do have a pretty clear road into the playoffs with a little bit of help here and there. But this game should have been about 100-0 Giants. Let's be straight. The Eagles were playing with three cornerbacks who were not on rosters a month ago. A cornerback who I think maybe has 3 starts in his career. Malcolm Jenkins, obviously, great safety. The other safety who weren't on rosters at the beginning of the year. I mean, this secondary was absolutely depleted. Odell Beckham Jr. should have broke the record for receiving. Saquon Barkley should have broke the record for rushing. This game should have been over from the moment the ball was kicked off. And what happened? Pat Shurmur blew it for the Giants. Saquon Barkley, 5 touches in the second half. Mm-hmm. How does that happen? How in the world does that happen? It just doesn't make any sense. Odell Beckham Jr. only had 5 receptions. He should have had at least 70 receptions for 1,000 yards. I mean, this secondary, there was not
a... It was the biggest storyline of the week.
The secondary that the Eagles were playing with were guys that are like...
Cravon LeBlanc.
They're like you're 3 years deep into a Madden franchise, and these are the guys you're drafting. I mean, these are just guys off the street, and that's who the Eagles were playing with. And somehow Jim Schwartz, as much as he's been hated in Philadelphia recently, he somehow pulled it together, made his defense simpler for these cornerbacks, and somehow they pulled out a win here. I think the big thing is Josh Adams proved that he can be a lead back, or at least a lead back on this team. 84 yards. He's been running very well for the Eagles, and we'll see what they do going forward, but they got to pick it up on offense. They got to pick it up on defense, and you never know. You'll see what happens when it comes January.
Yeah, after this first quarter, I thought this game was over. You saw the New York Giants go down on their first drive, score a touchdown, 80 yards, 4 minutes, 22 seconds, 9 plays. That was easy for them. It was just Saquon Barkley touchdown on their first drive. Then they go on defense. Eagles, they go out on their second drive. They punt it away. Giants, they go down to the field, 87 yards, 10 plays, and they get a field goal out of it, just missing, just short of getting a touchdown there. And then, Eagles 5 plays, they punt again. So after that first quarter, 10-0 lead for the Giants, just grinding down that defense, I was like, okay, this could honestly be a blowout. And then, field goal for the Giants in the second quarter, and then a touchdown, and after Eagles field goal, and then what is it in there? It was 23-6, and I'm like, okay, and then the Eagles scored through. It was 23-13. I'm like, okay, if the Giants keep this going in the second half, you're looking at a 14-point win for the Giants. I'm like, they're doing everything right. In the first half, you had, 15 carries for however many yards was Saquon Barkley. They were rolling on offense. And then second half, it all stops. You give Saquon Barkley the ball 5 times. You don't throw it to Odell. I just do not understand whatsoever. Here they thought Pat Shurmur, he was the offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator.
Offensive coordinator for the Vikings last year.
He was a guy that they thought could accelerate this offense, and he's doing the exact opposite. They're not going to fire him, but they should fire him. He's absolutely been a reason for their demise this year. I know they didn't have the talent all around anyway, but this is a team that I think should be winning 6 or 7 games, in my opinion. And I think they would have won this game with a coach like, Sean McVay or Matt Nagy, who knows how to play a game like this. If Saquon Barkley has 13, however many carries in that first half of that many yards, you keep it going. That's pretty much, a 4-year-old kid playing Madden pretty much knows how to do that. So, otherwise, it's just a big win for the Eagles. I know it wasn't pretty, but hey, considering the injuries in that game, you're going to take what you're going to get if you're an Eagles fan in that one. And, hopefully the injuries get a little bit better. I will say, Cravon LeBlanc is a guy that was on the Bears. He's actually not horrible. He can make plays here and there. He's probably your best of the backups that you got there. But you guys are going to need those guys to come back and be productive for you in the future if you want to have a chance to win the NFC East. Again, that Week 14 matchup against the Dallas Cowboys will, to me, I think, be the deciding factor in that division. So keep an eye on that. Who do they have next week, the Eagles?
Next week, the Eagles have the Redskins.
The Redskins.
On Monday Night Football.
So that could be a close game as well. The Redskins can still do enough on defense to keep that close. And I think if that'd be interesting, because if the Redskins win that game, you know, you can't really count them out of the NFC East if they win that game. But that'll certainly be a really good one on Monday Night Football. We're going to move on now. We're going to skip Tampa Bay at San Francisco. Do you have any storylines from that other than Reuben Foster being released and now being picked up by the who did he get picked
the
up
Redskins.
By? The Redskins. So that's interesting for a team like the Redskins. But
yeah, fuck, I mean, yeah. The only thing it was the first game that Nick Mullins really didn't look great for the 49ers, but Jameis Winston, a pretty good day for him, and I think this might help his case. I do think the Buccaneers stick with him next season.
I do think they stick with him. Dirk Cutter, is he a first year? He's a first year coach, isn't he?
No, I think that's his third year.
Third year? I must be thinking something else. Yeah, so, okay, Dirk cut, fired. Dirk will be gone at the end of the year, in my opinion,
so.
For the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and they need to establish a direction of this franchise with Jameis Winston. I think they do that in the offseason. But again, Buccaneers 27-9 win. No implications from this one other than the Francisco 94ers. The San Francisco 49ers moving up the draft board. Hopefully they can get that number one spot, because this is a team that can be good with Jimmy Garoppolo, so it's actually nice that they could get a high pick, and they will be a playoff contender next year, but not so much this year. We're going to move on to another blowout game. Los Angeles Chargers asserting their dominance among the Arizona Cardinals, winning 45-10. They move to 8-3. They look like a force in the AFC. Well, the Arizona Cardinals, not much to take away from them. They are 2-9, also moving themselves up the draft board. But what'd you take away for the Chargers as a team that is right now in the third slot in the AFC?
Yeah, the Chargers looked really good. The only thing that is going to hurt them from this game is Melvin Gordon going down with an injury, MCL injury.
Was it an MCL?
Yeah, he is day-to-day, so it's
probably
not
a sprain or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, not anything
like that.
Major. But you hope that he can get better for the Chargers' sake, because this team looks very, very good offensively, defensively. Nick Bosa, I think this was his first game back from injury. 2 sacks.
Yep.
Big weekend for the Buckeyes. Phillip Rivers almost set the record for most completions in a row. He had 25 completions in a row to start the game,
which is a record, but not most. He set the record for most completions to start a game, but not most consecutive completions.
And his one incompletion came on a little dump off, which sucks for him. But 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. He is a sneaky candidate for MVP, though I don't think he will get it because Drew Brees is just playing absolutely out of his mind. But I really like this Chargers team. I think they can play good defense. Obviously, their offense is very good. I think teams should definitely be scared of them come January, because they can beat you from the run game. They can beat you from the pass game. They can do it all. It's good to see, because Phillip Rivers is kind of an underrated quarterback. He always does well, but can never really get deep into the playoffs. So I think this Chargers team is looking very good going into the playoffs. Hopefully Melvin Gordon can get healthy. And not really much to say about the Cardinals. They're 2-9, looking for a top pick, presumably. Maybe Ed Oliver or Nick Bosa. You don't know where they're going, but they just need talent right now and Josh Rosen to get more, become a more complete passer, a more NFL ready quarterback. So that's about it from this game. Just, it was a blowout from the beginning.
Yeah, not much to take away from this one other than the dominance of Phillip Rivers. And I think you're seeing the Los Angeles Chargers establish themselves as a threat. Prior years, you saw them be around this record, but you didn't see them as that threat in the AFC, and it's a team that contend with the Chiefs and the Patriots. I don't know when they play the Chiefs. It could be next week. I don't remember them playing. What happened when they played early? Have they played each other?
They lost early in the season.
Was it? It was must have been much earlier. I barely remember that game. But now, the next time they play them is going to be huge implications, because if they win that game, they would be tied. Do they? Ryan's looking up right now if they play the Chiefs next week. We'll find out in about 2 seconds.
They lost 38-28 in week one.
Okay.
And they play the Chiefs week 15.
Week 15. So that's actually pretty, in a few weeks. So a few things can happen between that. But I'm still going to hold my predictions, saying the Los Angeles Chargers will win the division. This defense is elite. And although Melvin Gordon went down, you can see Justin Jackson and Austin Eckler fill that backfield okay enough for them to be successful, but it's a huge loss for them that Melvin Gordon went down. Huge red zone loss. He does his most damage in the red zone with those touchdown carries. But big win otherwise for the Los Angeles Chargers, 45-10. We're going to move now. Pretty interesting game here. Indianapolis Colts win on a game-winning field goal by Adam Vinatieri, an ageless wonder. They move to 6-5. Andrew Luck, quietly, another MVP candidate. Miami Dolphins, after starting pretty hot, they were still in the conversation, but they have now fallen to 5-6. I think they are done in the AFC, not simply by record or mathematics, but because of what they have with themselves in Miami. But biggest takeaway is that the Indianapolis Colts have now won 5 in a row. They are 6-5, and they are looking at possible... Are they slotted in right now for the wild card, or are they one out?
I believe they're one out.
They're one out, but this is a team right now that is in the hunt. Big game for them. Andrew Luck, 343 yards, 3 touchdowns. He has had, I believe, 8 straight weeks of 3-plus touchdowns, so hell of a job by him. Ryan, what did you see from this game?
Another great week from the Colts. They're running the ball with Marlon Mack. He did go out with a concussion, but Nyheim Hines comes in, plays well in Mack's absence. Luck, a huge day, 343 yards. Passing, 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. T.Y. Hilton, a big day. It's kind of like the old Colts where T.Y. Hilton was blowing up, Andrew Luck was blowing up. But I think this kind of seals the fate of the Dolphins quarterback wise. I think Ryan, they are probably going to look to move on from Ryan Tannehill. I think they might look to move on from Adam Gase. I think they're going to move on. And just start fresh. This team, they started off hot. Nobody really expected that, but then it just, they couldn't really keep up the hot streak. Their leading rusher was Frank Gore, who has been playing well this year, but he is 37 years old, I believe. So it's not like you can really rely on him moving forward. No. I think they got to find a new direction for this team. And I would not be surprised if they take a quarterback this year or sign a quarterback or trade for a quarterback, find a new coach. I think this Dolphins team just needs to start moving in a new direction because they've always been in that limbo state where
yes.
They could easily make the playoffs, but they could easily be one of the worst teams in the league. And it's been like that for a good 6 to 7, 8 years now where they're just
exactly.
They're never really going to be the best team in the league, but they're never really going
to right in the
they're
middle.
Not in a great direction right now, and I think they just need to find someone else to spark them to have a more positive outlook for years to come.
Yeah, they're the definition of, like, an average team in the NFL. Not by record, but just, like, if you look at their wins, you know, they beat the Titans, they beat the Jets, they beat the Raiders, then they get destroyed by the Patriots, they lose to the Bengals, then they beat the Bears, lose to the Lions, lose to the Texans, beat the Jets, lose to the Packers. You know, they're so up and down more than any other team in the NFL. So, they eventually, again, Ryan Tannehill himself is a definition of the average NFL quarterback, so they do need to go in a different direction. I like Adam Gase as the head coach over there. I don't think they fire him yet. I think they like what he does schematically, and I really liked what he did in Chicago as the offensive coordinator years ago, so I think they keep him. But the problem is, like, if they want to go in a different direction, like, they'll be in, like, the 14th, 15th slot right now in the draft order, so we'll see what's available there for quarterbacks. You're not going to see a lot of these top teams taking quarterbacks, so that's the interesting thing. Like, you're not going to see the 49ers take a quarterback. You're not going to see the Raiders take a quarterback. I don't think. You know, I've seen a lot of draft boards that don't even have the Giants taking a quarterback. So we'll see. But Miami Dolphins, they dropped to 5-6. they need to figure things out there. Indianapolis Colts, on their hand, move to 6-5. Big win for them. They are in the playoff race. We're going to move on now to an interesting game in the AFC. At Denver, win for the Broncos. Second straight win for them. Two impressive wins in a row. They beat the Chargers and the Steelers in two straight weeks. Two of the better teams in the AFC. Broncos win 24-17, moving them to 5-6. So I would not count them out yet of the AFC wildcard race, because it looks like one of those wildcard teams may even be 9-7. So we will see. Pittsburgh Steelers, Pittsburgh Steelers, on their hand, are 7-3-1. Again, they have some really strange losses this year, but I think the most important takeaway is James Conner unproductive in the last 2 weeks since Le'Veon Bell confirmed that he did not come back. So it will see. Be interesting to see how this running game, you know, is after the whole Le'Veon drama has folded up. But Ryan, what did you see in this one, in the game that came down to an interception by Ben Roethlisberger?
I actually don't really think that this is James Conner's fault. From a lack of production, only 4 receptions, 42 yards, so that's over 10 yards a carry, or 10 yards a catch, 13 carries, 53 yards, 4.1 yards a carry. He did have a fumble, which was huge in this game, but I don't really understand the play calling for the Pittsburgh Steelers. You have the ball at the 3-yard line and they didn't run the ball at all.
Right, well, that's what I'm saying is, look, if you have Le'Veon Bell in that situation,
but James Conner's been playing well all season. These past 2 weeks, it's been so mind blowing that you're not using him more. Ben Roethlisberger threw the ball 56 times. Yeah, exactly. That's just, it's not necessary. James Conner's been playing very well. He's had multiple games over 100 yards. It's not like he's just barely getting yards. Like, this guy has been playing very well. I don't understand it, because this game was close the entire game. It was not like the Steelers had to play catch up the whole game where they needed to throw the ball. They just didn't give James Conner any opportunities here. Ben Roethlisberger, as great of a quarterback as he is, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. He shouldn't be throwing 56 times. No quarterback should be throwing 56 times. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just absolutely unnecessary. The 2 interceptions were his fault. Bad throws, bad decisions, whatever. But James Conner needs to get more involved in this offense. They were playing very, very well with him getting 20 carries a game, 18 carries a game, whatever it may be, but he needs more production. When you have the ball that close, I don't know why he doesn't get a shot at getting the touchdown. I believe he did drop a little wheel route that would have been an easy touchdown, or maybe it was James Washington, one or the other. They dropped an easy touchdown at the end of that game. But I don't really get it from the Steelers right now. And I think if this team makes the playoffs, I think they are a very dangerous team if they give James Conner the opportunity. Mm-hmm. If they're just relying on Ben Roethlisberger, it gets tough, because Ben wants to make every play and he starts throwing picks like he did on Sunday.
Right. And this game, like, if you look at that interception, it's not necessarily Ben's fault. Like, the offensive lineman pushed the defender back, but we're kind of running out of time here. So, big implications for this one. Not huge, but pretty important. Denver Broncos stay in it. Big win for them. Their defense is coming around. Quick little recap of this Sunday night game, which is one of the more important games of this week. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers lose to the Minnesota Vikings 24-17. They fall to 4-6-1. Minnesota Vikings hold that fifth spot in the NFC wildcard race at 6-4-1. Big win for them. Packers are pretty much eliminated from the playoffs. Aaron Rodgers is not a great leader, in my opinion. Any takeaways from that game real quick?
Mike McCarthy's going to get fired.
Yep, that's a pretty easy one. Mike McCarthy will get fired. That is without a doubt. But the Vikings kind of finally got the win that they needed against a divisional opponent after losing to the Bears last week. So big for them to get that win. They stay in the hunt in the NFC. Quick Monday night recap. Houston Texans have won 8 in a row, now being the Titans 34-17. The Titans move to 6-6 right now. I think they're one of the only teams in the NFL. Are they 5-6? Never mind. They're 5-6. I don't think there's any team in the NFL right now that is 6-6. I'm not sure, though. But Titans 5-6. They're losing ground right there in the AFC. They need to keep winning. But Texans, not sure if they're exactly a Super Bowl contender. But any takeaways from that game real quick?
I think they're getting lucky with some of these wins. I don't think they're going to win a Super Bowl this year. They're playing well, but I don't think a Super Bowl is in the future.
Yeah, do not see a Super Bowl in the future as well. They have beaten some pretty average teams, not don't have a lot of great wins, but something to keep an eye on. They have won 8 in a row. Good for them. Great week of football. Lots of implications. It'll get better as we go, as the playoff race heats up. Thanks for tuning in, guys. I'm Kevin Lapka. That's Ryan Talley. This was the Lapka and Talley Podcast. Have a great week, guys.